Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Mention ESPN and get free dryer vent cleaning with every Dr. Mold service. Ductman has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and a 5-star Google rating. DuctmanAir.com. What's in your duct?
Data message rate supply national contest. It's new money in the new year. Every hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. at the top of the hour.
How do you pay, man? If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Win a G. $1,000 in straight cash, homie. Money, money in 2020.
More money.
And right now, get a G.
Wheel is the code word. You can text the word wheel to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 new money in the new year all this month. Text wheel, EEL, 72881. That's WHEEL to 72881. Wheel is the code word for the noon hour. You have up until 1 o'clock. Good luck. And don't forget, if you miss a word, go to 92.9 FM ESPN on the radio.com app. Use that rewind feature, and you can actually go back and get the word that way. Wheel is your code word. Another word coming up at 1 o'clock.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru. Only on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You know who's on the top, standing on the top? Billy Richmond's standing on the top, because that's where you reside if you're eating Wingaroo, on the top. Billy Richmond is the former Tiger basketball player. Now he's the Chicken House King of Memphis, because he's got a couple of Wingaroos, 5699 Mount Moriah or 7199 Stage Road. Others to open very soon. But those two fabulous locations, you're going to get the same fabulous wings at both. Party, whole, boneless, however you like your wings. You're going to get them fantastic, well done, cooked the right way, with time and quality. And, John, you're going to get them with the best premium flavor.
What more can you say about the Wing Guru, Jason?
On top.
They are on top, and they've been on top for 4 years. Even back before they were not even the Wing Guru, they've been on top. And it's because, like you mentioned, those premium flavors. Garlic Sriracha, 901, Spicy Taco, Triple J, you name it. All of them are delicious. All of them are exotic. You won't find them anywhere else, and that's what makes the Wing Guru the best.
Grizzlies trying to get on a new win streak. Jaren Jackson need to have some of that Triple J. You know that's his sauce. That's his flavor. Try it. You'll like it as well. Nothing more grizzly than Triple J sauce from Wing Guru. When you see Billy Richmond, please tell him that Jason and John sent you. Thank you.
Every day around this time, we do a segment. We've named it The Rundown. Let's do it.
Now, it's The Rundown. The biggest stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Memphis basketball taking on Syracuse and Jim Boeheim tonight. Neutral site game in Oklahoma. At Tulsa, they will play this game. It's actually not Syracuse. It's just Tulsa. I apologize. We have held this Tulsa defense in great regard.
What are they in defense?
We have held them in such high. We have with such reverence. We respect this
You're
Tulsa
funny.
Defense.
You're fine.
I mean, this is one of the greatest. It's like the Steel Curtain. It's like the Patriots this year. I mean, it is one of the greatest defenses you have ever seen. Right.
Let me give you the number. They're 66th in defensive efficiency.
They're what?
I mean, that's a little bit in the green.
They're what?
66.
Oh. Much was made of this Tulsa defense.
Did I tell you that Frank Haith is 4-0?
I know. But did I tell you that Memphis basketball had the worst 4 years in program history the last 4 years?
It's true, and you're in a different place now, but if Frank Haith is still undefeated in Tulsa against you, you have to show
me. Do you realize that the last decade for Memphis basketball was the worst ever?
I covered it, John.
It was the worst ever 10-year span for Memphis basketball ever.
Sometimes I sit around, it, you know, comes up on the weekends, and I'm sitting, I got nothing else to do, and I think about, was it me? You know?
No, it wasn't
did
you.
Did I just catch a bad run?
It was definitely not you. It was Josh Pastner.
Because,
it was Tubby Smith.
That class that I was really brought in for, because I'd covered him as high schools, right, and Dan Walken's moving on, but that class, Joe Tark, I mean, it was highly rated. You had Jalon Kendrick in that thing, Chris Crawford. Remember, we were talking ourselves into, I mean, I was like, my gosh, look what I'm going to get a chance to cover. And, you know how you see how it went.
Well, it
started out pretty good.
Was not your fault.
Continued actually a little with Austin and Nick King and Markel. Pookie,
yeah,
looked like it was gonna be good there. But man, I just covered it right off the rails, and now here it is getting back on, right? And I watch you cover it every day.
So Memphis
I watch
basketball,
you cover it now.
The 10-year span for Memphis basketball was like a person who was drowning. Okay, they have somehow been pushed off a cruise ship and they are drowning in the Atlantic Ocean. And they initially come up for air, right, in that 2010 class, and you're like, all right, they're going to be fine.
Whew. I mean, they made four tournaments.
Woo, that's close. That was close. And then between the years 2011 to 2013, they're submerged underwater again. But then randomly in 2013, they come back up for air, and they're like, like, oh, God, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it because we have the number two ranked recruiting class, Austin Nichols and Nick King. And then they ultimately drown.
I mean, it was four tournaments in 7 years, just none past the first weekend, where you expect Memphis to get to in 7 years, at least one trip. But we look at it as if it was a death zone, as if it was the Sahara Desert. You know,
well,
other programs
historically
would point to 4-7 and say, man, okay, that's pretty good. But for Memphis, I will give you.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing some perspective out here. I will give you that, yes, it did not meet expectations.
And then what happens?
At some point in that run, you've got to get to a Sweet 16 in 7 years.
The cruise ship sends someone else to save the person who was drowning. And then that person drowns alongside the person who had drowned before. So you had two people who would drown. And then, of course, then you had the submarine that is Penny Hardaway to come and save the day, which she has done so far. Thank God, right? Because it's been long enough. We've already lost two. We got two casualties out here. But yes, Memphis has not beaten Tulsa under Frank Haith at Tulsa ever. So hopefully that changes tonight. Certainly Memphis is hoping that it does. They are 3.5-point favorites. As we've talked about, Memphis is a 3.5-point favorite. As we've talked about, one of the things that Memphis just doesn't usually do as a favorite under Penny Hardaway is lose. They've only lost twice. And I think Gary Parrish was the first to come up with that stat, so I want to make sure we give him the credit.
I think it was actually Saluki Blue that gave it to
Was
Parrish.
It Saluki Blue that came up with that? Okay, so Saluki
if
Blue.
If I'm correct.
Gary then brought it to the
air. And I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm not correct.
That's correct. Because
Lord knows everybody loves correcting Jason. Move.
Well, one of Saluki Blue's pastimes is correcting.
In credit to him, he does a great job with it. This is pretty sure that he found that stat. The Penny was 39-2 at the time as a favorite.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, one of those two losses, as John points out, Frank Haith.
Yeah. So
Frank Haith ain't never lost.
Yeah, he's never lost to Memphis
in Tulsa.
This is an important game for Memphis because if you are to win this game, if Memphis ends up winning this game, they would be tied with Houston for first place in the American. And, you know, you think about the preseason. You think about the preseason poll that we've burned, right, that we have burned in effigy right now because, I mean, they didn't even have Preston Chew on the first or second team.
It's looking but having Houston and Memphis, though, doesn't look all that bad.
Well,
right now.
You're right. I mean, because
the teams were, yes, to have Preston off was foolishness.
Yes, but that those preseason polls, it was co-favorites. Memphis and Houston were co-favorites of the league, and it looks like that's kind of what this thing is trending toward.
Will Alex Lomax have a better game from a ball-handling standpoint in terms of from a floor standpoint tonight? You realize 15 turnovers in the last three. That's part of what's that's the head of the snake. And so to John's point, I mean, last I looked, it was 17 turnovers a game. It's one of the things that's really hurting you this season.
Yeah.
And when the head of your snake, right, is turning it over on average five times a game in the last three, that's a big part of the issue. You don't expect that kind of recklessness, quite frankly. Some of it has been. That kind of carelessness, most of it has been.
Yep.
From an Alex Lomax. That's something I know Penny has been on him about. And, again, this is a guy who you're not used to that from. You know, a two- or three-turnover game typically for Alex Lomax be one man. He'd say, I got to clean that up. So five, I mean, it's sort of set the tone here lately, John, that, you know, if Alex is sloppy with it, the rest of the team is too.
So it'd
be nice to clean that up. The other thing, though, that's what you can clean up. Here's what you know, too. Coming in, here's one of the good things. You've held 10 straight opponents under 41% shooting. Since he shot 30% from the field on you. Tulsa is not a juggernaut offensively, down in the hundreds. And so, again, no matter how nasty it gets for Memphis offensively, even if they're turning it over, they will not be out of a ball game, at least not to the point this year. I wouldn't tell you against anybody in the AAC because of how elite they are defensively.
Right.
That's
true.
And it's coaching. We talked about it a little bit earlier on this week. They should be lauded for it because that's where you got to coach. You got to coach freshmen to play defense. And this team, John, number one in the country in effective field goal percentage defense. That's hard to do
with
a team this young. That's coaching. And so that said, no matter how ugly it gets tonight, offensively for Memphis, even if they are turning it over a little bit too much, even if Alex is still a little sloppy with it, they won't be out of this game. And hopefully offensively they can get something going where you get this win and get out of there, get the first win for a Memphis team over Frank Haith and Tulsa. It's really pretty remarkable they haven't beaten him there.
Yeah, I think that changes tonight. I think that does.
I want to see a clean effort tonight. You know, not 17 turnovers, but 12, you know, 11 Alex
right.
with a, you know, because again, that sets such a tone and especially when they're getting out in the open court, you don't need the turnovers there. Get the easy points. If Memphis can turn that, you'll start seeing some 12 and 14, 15-point wins rather than these close ones.
I'm expecting a big game from the most talented tandem in the conference, in Precious Achiuwa and DJ Jeffries. I'm expecting them to go off tonight. I don't think Precious is going to have any problems until, like we talked about yesterday, until they get to Houston. I don't think any team is really capable. I don't think any team really has the personnel or the game plan or the coaching, frankly, to limit him other than Houston. And that's just exactly the way they play. So I think he's going to eat tonight. I think DJ is going to eat. I suspect Memphis will win the game. And they'll come back against SMU on Saturday, but it'll be a nice win for Memphis to get because again, it'll put them in a two-way tie for first place with Houston in first place. So that would be a very positive result. So Memphis Tulsa tonight, big game for the Tigers.
Next story,
I thought interesting from Shams and worth revisiting.
Yeah,
because we spent a good deal of time on Delonte West and what's going on there yesterday. I thought was quality time, quite frankly. Sometimes a talk we could all use. But some interesting facts coming out of that, emerging out of that, and some stuff we wondered about yesterday that I think we have some answers to, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Those closest, at least according to Shams, to Delonte West, they've been trying to help him for a while, something I suspected, right? That you know, it's one thing to say people need to help him, and you start pointing out, hey, why isn't this guy who played with him, Jameer Nelson, where are you? Like, and you start, hey, where's Boston, who he played, you know, where's Dallas? And we have a tendency to start looking at there saying, where's the help? Well, people have been trying to help for Donald. And that's typically what happens when you have, you know, you combine, you know, mental health issues with drug addiction, that people don't want help. They're going to run away from the help. And so there was sort of a confirmation of that from Shams' story. I thought this was interesting. The Prince George County Police Department said Tuesday that West and the other man in the video, and again, this was on a highway, John, are believed to know each other, adding that both refused to press charges, refused to cooperate with detectives. The police department is conducting a separate internal investigation because the video of West in handcuffs, remember, there are two separate videos. There's one of him getting whooped on the highway, and right, and you're wondering, what the heck's going on? Why isn't anybody stopping this? Then there's another where he's sitting on a curb and talking about the Navy SEALs and Donald Trump. Well, the one where he's sitting on the curb and talking to the Navy SEALs, that was police video,
yep.
Right? And so what I'm imagining, now Shams doesn't point this out in terms of what they're investigating when he says internal investigation, but I have to imagine they're investigating how in the world this police video got out that quickly. How did it leak? If the second, I don't care what he was saying, right? He's handcuffed in that video. How does this police video get out this quickly? I think that's what that investigation is about. I mean, did the officer get paid to leak that out? Hey, man, I got Delonte West on video. Y'all want to see? You want to give a brother a little money? Like, did that go down? Was it how did that go down? And then West, John, 36 years old now, had most recently worked in construction with his brother, and has struggled to find consistent work. We figured that one person close to him. Said that he's living with his mother, Delphina Anderson.
Yep.
Delphina Addison. He'd gotten into a confrontation in a casino on Monday night, walked home, and was followed and physically harmed on the highway by that unnamed gentleman. He's not pressing. They asked him if he wanted to press charges. I don't know what Delonte did to him.
Right.
But who knows? Anyway, that all happened Monday, and the police responded 9:45 a.m. in the middle of the highway. Delonte West getting beat up. We're all asking ourselves, how does it get to this?
Yeah.
That's where it's at now. It's a tough story. You just hope. And plenty of people. Jameer Nelson put out a big post. Plenty of people are reaching out. And again, that's been happening. But you just hope that at some point, Delonte West realizes, because this is the point for all of us, that this is rock bottom for me,
yep.
And he decides. Because, again, we can reach out all we want to in this instance, and it's up to that person to make that decision. So I hope he gets all the help he needs. He gets it turned around because this is a guy that does have kids, John's got everything to live for,
yep.
Still, and can get it right, man. That's the funny thing about what we got in life. Every day he gives us a chance to put on our pants and start anew, right? And maybe it doesn't look good the next day, but you got the next day and the next day and the next day to keep working on it. So this dude's life still has value, and he can get it turned around. I'm praying and rooting for him.
Yeah, man, no doubt.
Next story.
All right, this is the first, I think, in the history of this show. I have a baseball story.
Oh, be careful.
That I need to...
Good drop, Brad.
Frankly, need to run by you, jabronis, because it's just the latest example of why I don't give a damn about this sport. It's the latest example that it's run by a bunch of idiots, okay? I do know this. I know Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Okay? I know him. I remember
the Jeter man.
What was his nickname? The captain?
Yes.
Okay.
Number two, Derek Jeter.
Yes. So I know Derek
well
Jeter.
Done,
thank you.
I know Derek Jeter, and I'm familiar with his work, and I know he's one of the greatest shortstops to ever play the game, if not the greatest shortstop to ever play the game.
Oh, careful. Careful.
One of the greatest.
Okay, that's fine. We'll go there.
But yesterday, I saw a story. That he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, which, of course.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
This is going swimmingly so far.
I know exactly what you're – okay.
There was never any doubt about
Derek Jeter going into
the Hall of Fame.
Because you talk about postseason now. That's where he turned up.
Yes.
Right. Anyway.
But I have a problem.
I know where you're going.
I know where he's going, too.
He was not unanimous.
One.
Everybody's
looking for this dude.
Derek Jeter.
John's looking for him too.
He was not a unanimous selection into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
One dude.
This guy was a 14-time All-Star. He was a 5-time World Series champion. He was a World Series MVP. He was the AL Rookie of the Year. He's a 5-time Gold Glove Award winner. 5-time Silver Slugger Award winner. Okay, and I don't know what the last one means, but it's on his Wikipedia page. And he's not a unanimous selection? This is, I mean, who in their right mind would leave him off their ballot? Who in their right mind would not vote Derek Jeter into the Hall of Fame?
It's awful.
Unanimous. Like, who is this idiot?
I don't know. We're going to find
this
him, though.
This ass clown.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes has tweeted about this. Yeah. Russell Wilson has tweeted about this. You now are leading a crusade to find this person.
It's
you
a great
of all
story.
People who doesn't even watch, but it's amazing.
And then the other guy,
this other guy,
I have no idea who he is. Larry Johnson or Walker or whatever
Larry,
his name
Larry
is.
Walker. He played for the Cardinals.
Come on, man. Larry Walker.
I don't know who that is.
He was a Brocky.
Did he play with Mark McGwire? They let him in because they felt sorry for him?
No, you only get so many shots at this. This was his final election period.
Okay, so baseball is stupid. It just is. Baseball is stupid. When Derek Jeter, who is unequivocally one of the greatest guys to ever put on a baseball uniform, is not a unanimous Hall of Famer, this sport is stupid. It should be done away with entirely until we can fix this. Can this be changed?
You know what would be a – I think you're doing great.
Mm. No, it's not. I think baseball is doing poorly.
I agree with you.
You know what I would – I would take this rant that you're on right now, right, and I would apply it to not letting the steroids guys in, because then you got both sides of it. One vote for Derek Jeter, he's getting in. Okay,
I know
he's already gotten everything in life.
He should be a unanimous selection.
Everything about him is perfect.
This would be like Michael Jordan not being a unanimous selection.
No, I'm with you. It's ridiculous for that one person, right, to be because think about that dude, right, who says no,
not Jeter,
he's not good enough. Derek Jeter, not up to the level.
Come on,
like
man.
To do that, right? Think about the ego involved in that. To say no, so you're absolutely right on that though. But John, the thing about ridiculous baseball fan, why you'll never see you in it, right? You should go just this way they treat the whole steroids era. The fact that Barry Bonds, right, who, look, we talked about how signal stealing is up to a level now where the MLB's had to come in, right, because now they got freaking buzzers on folks' chests, okay? But it was always accepted. And so it's a form of cheating, right, as long as you're not using technology.
Right.
That was accepted in baseball. Brother, everybody were on the roids a few years ago, okay? Sammy. McGwire, all of them, bro.
Clemens.
It was the generation. Clemens too,
yeah.
And they were taking it in part not just to hit the ball far, but for rehab, right? It was bringing them back quicker, and it was just the era. So the idea that we're going to throw all those numbers out in a sport where hell, when you're half cheating, it's kind of already accepted, is ridiculous, and it's part of the reason you're absolutely right. Baseball will never be got. It will never be America's pastime again because they don't use common sense. They don't use common sense. Barry Bonds, one of the greatest hitters we have ever seen. Right? And he would have been, the numbers wouldn't have been as good if he's not on the roids. But, John, everybody's numbers in baseball were affected by the roids, okay?
They were.
And so that should be set to the side. Those guys should be, hell, again, I don't understand in a sport where you're already allowing stuff like that, where you're going to say, we cannot let those people in because they use steroids. Stop, your whole league was used. You had the problem as a league.
Right, no doubt,
Your drug testing problem was the issue.
Put Pete Rose in?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Listen,
very, very divisive issue. Racial lines.
He bet on games he was involved in. Come on.
Yeah, but he was betting on himself, not the other team.
I know. And I'm sure he ain't the only one.
Was he betting against himself?
No.
Though?
Did he ever bet against himself?
He didn't bet against himself. To your point, though, John, I think something that Jason, you might agree with me on this, though. Baseball's got a major problem in multiple facets.
It could forever be over.
Multiple ways. It's the cheating thing. It's this one idiot. The way they vote. There's the purists who throw at batters like cavemen. It's stupid.
Now, are the people that vote into the Hall of Fame, are they writers?
Yes.
They're writers.
Most
yes.
of them are
Most are
writers
and broadcast. Yes.
About the pureness and the purity
well, okay.
of baseball.
All these purist
okay,
idiots.
So is there a way that this is a mistake?
I'm going to tell you this.
No.
What's a mistake?
That somebody just accidentally
I'm sure it's possible. That person right now that's got all this heat on him and like we said, all these people tweeting at him.
Are these
might
public?
Tell you,
can you imagine him coming out and going, yeah, I missed the Chad. I missed the little flipper.
Are these public? Are these ballots public?
No, the name is not surfaced. I don't think that comes out.
Well, because like my issue with it is, okay, even if you wanted to do a Terrell Owens kind of thing, right, like and not vote guys in based on personality or whatever, yeah. teammates, even then, Derek Jeter had one of the squeakiest, clean images in the history
that
of sports.
Never got, I don't remember him ever getting in trouble.
And like, if you wanted to say something like a Dan Marino, even though Dan Marino's in the Hall of Fame, if you wanted to say something like, oh, well, he just wasn't very good when the playoffs started, the dude was one of the best ever in October. One of the absolute best ever when the lights were on. And so, like, there's just, like, what is the argument to not have it to – I don't get it. It's just ridiculous.
I'm with you, John.
I compare baseball's – and y'all tell me if I'm off on this one, but this is the comparison I draw. Baseball's haughty attitude, right, that
yes.
we're better than everything else, right? I compare it to sort of the attitude of the newspaper industry for too long. And it's one of the reasons you got left behind is because for so long you told yourself, we don't have to change. We don't have to worry about this new internet age. There will always be people that want their paper at their front door with their coffee, and they're going to flip through the pages. And so you always told yourself, well, we'll have advertisers in that yeah. paper, and it'll always go like that. So we don't need to change. And, John, what did it do? It absolutely yep. wrecked things. You yep. did not change with it. And it's that attitude. Right, that we're better than everything else. We'll always be there. That's what's killed baseball
yeah,
over
man.
All these years.
Great
it's the attitude. It's the attitude of their writers
yep.
that this is the purest sport, and anyone who injected themselves with give me a break. The entire sport was doing it. So
right.
that's the reason both are at the place they're at right now.
Well, I mean, yeah. So like, I just
that attitude.
It's crazy.
I hope that this can be amended or something or other. Mariano Rivera, who apparently baseball lovers, I know Mariano Rivera was again one of the best closer. Right. And is that
yes.
the best?
Yes, yes.
That's
you would
fair.
Not. Yeah, you wouldn't
now,
say that.
Now, who are you pushing back on here with greatest shortstop?
St. Louis Cardinals going to tell you Ozzie Smith all day long, I would imagine, and maybe it's some others.
Yeah, there's a lot of great shortstops out there. I can pull them up, but there's some arguments to be had on that one. I think on the closer argument, you can go there.
Yeah, one quick baseball story. One of my favorite baseball memories when I played the game myself, it was third grade for St. Michael's, and there was our batter, like our, you know, our he wasn't our cleanup man, but he was like our best hitter. He was warming up in the batter's box. And, you know, he took some big swings, man, some big swings, big whips. And one time one of my teammates was, again, everybody's 8, 9 years old.
Yeah.
He thought it would be a good idea to walk in that vicinity. Unfortunately, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean, Hank Aaron, man, he took a big swing, and it connected with my man right in the temple, knocked him right out. I said, I'm done with this game.
I'm looking at some ESPN lists, and your guy, Ernie Banks, is actually listed in some of them ahead of Jeter. Some
Ernie Banks.
Robin Young.
No idea who
there.
That is.
Ozzie
Mr.
Smith.
Cub.
You have, of course,
yeah, I
Derek.
Figured you'd pick Ozzie, and I'd pick Ernie.
Cal Ripken because of the longevity. Ernie Banks.
Of course, Cal.
You've got Alex A-Rod, but he's not in the Hall because of the doping.
Right.
You know, and then you got Honest Wagner, which is way – it's 30s. You
absolutely.
Know? So there's some others to
absolutely.
Be talking
no,
about.
I, you know, and maybe one
well,
day –
we really dove in.
I just wanted to give the quick synopsis.
No, I
appreciate
that.
Is
it Honest Wagner or Onus?
Who knows?
Honest,
and frankly,
honest?
Who gives a damn?
I know his baseball card used to be worth a lot. I am assuming it still is.
Yeah.
But,
one of the legends
few.
Of baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
There you go. There's your baseball.
No, I'm glad you gave it.
I think one day during the summer, we can do an entire set.
Stove.
Not a segment, but an entire show.
You're doing
show.
Hot stove right now, you realize.
Entire show.
You're a regular Jeff Passan over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Jeff Passan.
I miss my calling. I've missed my calling as the guy that rants against baseball.
You're kind of the Mr. Keep It Real on baseball, though. I can appreciate that.
Because I don't know anything about it.
I think you are today's American sports fan that doesn't give a damn about baseball. Maybe it's a little bit more so with you than others, but you are the average fan today that's never going to get into baseball either because of some of these issues.
I agree.
If I was going to rank the sports.
So your opinion does matter, John.
If I was going to rank the sports that I care about the most, okay? Like the sports that I care about the most. And I actually don't think I'm representative of the average sports fan. I think my priorities are probably very different than the average.
You average sports fan in Memphis.
Closer than you think.
I would say number one for me is NFL. That's me. I don't think most people would agree with that. Number one for me is NFL.
I think you might be right. It's number one for most for the United States. It certainly
is. What am I missing?
Listen,
the NFL is the most popular
here
in America.
Number one.
Obviously, soccer overseas.
That's right.
But I am European though. Number one is NFL. Number two for me, and this is where it'll really get weird, is college basketball.
That's because you cover it.
And there's a lot of people that will say the same thing, especially in Memphis.
But either way, I'm not going to fight you. College basketball, NBA, whichever one it is.
And then
not baseball.
But number
second.
Three.
What's your third?
Would be college football.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's
all of that above
and
baseball.
And then NBA. That would be my top four.
A lot of Memphians are with you.
Number two, Jai's going to change that. Well, you don't have to bet this NBA that's fourth for you. Well, that will change in the next
few
years.
They just don't start playing until the fourth quarter, Jason.
When you're seeing him getting all-star nods and all that, you're gonna
Lakers playoff series.
Yeah, that'd be fun. They're like my kids. They're like my kids, Jason. I love all of them, you know, sometimes. But anyway, Mark Adams is going to join us when we come back. We'll talk to him about the fight last night that took place in college basketball, get his thoughts on Memphis Tulsa. Lots more to come on the other side. Jason and John, 97.5 ESPN.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
At AT&T, we believe that access to affordable home internet brings you incredible opportunities. You can enjoy the power to explore a digital world of possibilities and connect with family, friends, and the things that matter most. That's why there's access from AT&T. If a member of your household is a SNAP participant, you may qualify for home internet at a discounted rate of $10 a month or less. No commitment, no deposit, no installation fee. Plus, get an in-home Wi-Fi gateway included at no extra cost. Call 1-855-220-5211 or visit att.com/access now to learn more.
SNAP refers to the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Pricing excludes taxes and fees. Includes 1 terabyte of data per month. Data overage charges apply. For details about data allowance, go to att.com/internet-usage. Geographic and service restrictions apply.
Hey, if Memphis takes the 2020 College Basketball Championship, every bet you make at the Fitz between November 1st and tip-off April 6th is a winning bet. Luck lives here. See Sportsbook for details. Must be 21 to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Hey there. As you're driving right now, take note of the vehicle in front of you. Are you a safe distance behind? Are you approaching too fast? Can you stop in time if a collision is about to happen? There's a lot to keep track of in order to drive safely. That's where the 2020 Chevy Equinox can help you. With automatic emergency braking with forward collision alert, now standard on all 2020 Equinox models. Right now, get the 2020 Chevy Equinox with $3,750 cash allowance, plus current competitive owners get an additional $750 cash allowance. Driver is responsible for operating the vehicle. vehicle in a safe manner at all times. Certain conditions may affect feature performance. See owner's manual for important limitations and information. Excludes L models. Must be a current owner of a 2006 model year or newer non-GM vehicle for at least 30 days prior to the new vehicle sale. Not available with special financing, lease, and some other offers. Take new retail delivery by 2/3/2020. See dealer for details. Visit Sunrise Chevrolet, your Mid-South Chevy dealer. Divorce can be a difficult process, so don't trust your family and future to one of those national cookie-cutter law firms. If you're getting divorced or want help with custody, adoption, or wills and estates, contact Justin Thomas and the deeply experienced Memphis lawyers of Thomas White and Gill at memphisfamilylaw.com.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM. ESPN.
Mark Adams, college basketball analyst for ESPN and an expert in the AAC. Big matchup tonight, Memphis-Tulsa. We'll get to that. He joins us now. Hey, Mark, what's going on, man?
You know, I'm just excited to follow Memphis Tiger basketball today along with the American. It's just crazy right now, which is fun for us. We get to talk about all the different situations and ins and outs of the American. So it's an interesting college basketball season, notwithstanding the debacle that happened in Kansas last night.
Well, yeah. We're going to certainly get to the AAC, but that's the story of college basketball right now is what happened last night. Now, I did see a short time ago Silvio D'Souza has been suspended indefinitely by Bill Self, but – you know, as somebody who, you know, you coached and you certainly understand the dynamics of a college basketball team in a game, what did you make of everything that happened last night on the court?
Well, first of all, I think you got to understand the rule book, and that's the first thing. And the NCAA makes very, very clear early on, I can't tell you how many times in the rule book it mentions sportsmanship and bench decorum. And so there are some organizational things that are on the shoulders of a head coach to make sure that that situation doesn't happen. And it is the head coach's responsibility. But typically what happens is you meet with your team every year. You'll go through, listen, guys, you never leave the bench area, period, for any reason. If you do, there's going to be serious consequences for you, for us, for everybody. And so you make it very, very clear to everybody, no one ever leaves the bench. I am the head coach. I'm the only one that can leave the bench in order to defuse a situation. Everybody else must stay behind. Then what you do is you sign an assistant coaches or your entire staff to build a wall in front of your bench to make sure that nobody gets out in front. So this is 101 leadership, organizational management to make sure that that situation never gets out of control. But last night, obviously, whatever words were said previous to that moment weren't heard, weren't understood, weren't enforced earlier, weren't followed. And now we've got a mess where there will be multiple people that are going to be suspended because everybody left the bench. That means everyone's going to be suspended for a game or so. It means that the head coach could potentially be suspended as well, which I believe that should happen because the head coach is in charge of it. So those are the rules, and that's what I would expect to happen.
So I'm glad you said that because I'm hearing so much today that D'Souza, what do you do? I was wondering, and I asked the question before we brought you on, what happens to Bill Self to the point that you just made? I mean, there's supposed to be a protocol in the first place. Then the other thing is, how do your players feel this way? Well, that's got to some way reflect on you. Should it be a one-game suspension for Self? Like, what would be the proper punishment for Bill Self, who I'm with you. You're the head of this thing. Ultimately, you're responsible for your guys.
Well, and, you know, and also for Bruce as well. I mean, it's really at least a one-game suspension. By rule, it's at least a one-game suspension. From all the things that I've read, unless you got Teflon on you, and for some reason they come up with some other reason not to suspend the head coach. But then you also have the situation where the assistant coaches came off the bench as well.
Right. Right.
So you got that dynamic. So if you're the conference commissioner of the Big 12, you only got to send a message to all of the teams within your conference, all the presidents, all the athletic directors. You got a lot of bosses to take care of in that situation. So it's going to be interesting to see how they tiptoe through the politics of it. But listen, I would actually have them forfeit their next game. That's what I would do. I understand the financial ramifications, but I don't care about financial ramifications when it comes to sportsmanship. What's the price? What's the cost of sportsmanship? You know, That's a high, high level of expectation in my book anyway. Maybe it's fallen some in this society. I don't know. But I would have everybody done for the next game, maybe even for the next two games, and I'd have them forfeit games.
Man,
that simple.
I'm with you on this, Coach, and yes, align completely with your words on. Let me ask you this too. Maybe you see it as a double standard as well. I was asking about this earlier. In a game a night before in West Virginia, Texas, you see that walk-on out there, and he's shooting a three in the second half that West Virginia's scoring 52 points on Texas. That game's over. And yet with that walk-on, it's a little bit of a different story, but yet we're celebrating it, right? But in essence, they're running it up in a 97-59. Why is anyone blaming that Kansas State player for playing it through? If we don't blame the walk-on at West Virginia, or at least West Virginia, right, for playing the walk-ons late, running it up to 38 or whatever it was, why do we blame the Kansas State kid for playing it through when he's down?
Yeah, well, first of all, I had a simple rule. And listen, I'm not coaching Pastor today because I lost too many games by 50.
I hear you. Stop.
That's the way it is. Yeah. But I always felt this way. When I walk off the floor and I got my backside handed to me, and likewise, when I was on the other end of that dynamic, you know, when I lost those games, I felt like, look, that's on me. It's my job to get my team better prepared, have a better product on the floor. If some coach ran up the floor on me, now I might make a little mental note about it, but I'm not going to sit there and cry and complain about it. And likewise, you know, I used to be the guy that would call a timeout with 20 seconds to go down by 20, you know, because I wanted my team to play hard. I wanted my team to finish the 20 seconds. I wanted my team to execute for that 20 seconds. So, you know, this thing about, well, the game's over, and so we're going to dribble it out and that type of thing. Look, I get it. I really do. But why can't Kansas in that situation, or any team, run motion offense, spread the floor, spread the ball out, work on their passing, work on their movement, and then the shot clock runs down, the game's over. But that doesn't mean the defense has to give up. Yep. That's the way I look at it. I'm playing for the full 40. That's my coaching mentality.
Yeah.
I like it.
We are, of course, talking to Mark Adams, college basketball analyst for ESPN. All right, Mark, so a lot has changed with Memphis since the season started. I mean, there was James, and then there wasn't James, and there was supposed to be James coming back, and then he decided he was going to leave the team and prepare for the NBA draft. But here Memphis is. We're in January. They're in the top 20. What do you make of Memphis and the way that they have handled, you know, really all the turbulence?
Well, first of all, Penny's done a great job with that. And when you have talent, there's an opportunity to coach through and do a great job with that. And Penny has leveraged his talent in a very effective way. I mean, look, James Wiseman leaves. But you know what the real story is? It's Precious Achiuwa.
Agreed.
And how he has stepped up. I mean, okay, so James makes his decision. God bless him. Go on with your life. We hope you do well. But then Memphis is left with, okay, what do we do now? Who's going to step up now? Next man up, right? And Precious Achiuwa, who's as talented as any guy of his size in America, has taken this team on his shoulders and done tremendous things. I'm so impressed with how hard he plays. Defensively, how he intimidates, how he moves his feet. Because he's not a one-hit wonder offensively. I mean, he's developing layers to his game both offensively and defensively. And that's what I really like about what's happened at Memphis. That now we get to talk about another guy who was sort of just another guy before James Wiseman. He was just like when Zion Williamson played. Who else played on Duke during that time? You know, well, we get to see Precious play, and now DJ Jeffries has stepped up, playing better and better. You know, but if there was a constructive critical comment I had about Memphis, it revolves around guard play. And having coached young guards in my career, you know, young guards like a Tyler Harris and even like Alex Lomax now, and I've been a big fan of Alex, but a lot of times young guards, when they see the alley-oop, when they see Precious make that big play, then they think they've got to hit a grand slam home run too. And I think in some ways, Memphis at times suffers from grand slamitis. But they don't understand that, you know, a Tyler Harris hitting a single and getting on base is just as important as somebody else getting up and hitting a home run, because now it becomes a two-run home run. Yeah. And that's where I think that Memphis has to dial back their guard play to be more conservative, to take care of the basketball, and do the little things well versus one big thing out of 10 possessions, and then you turn it over two other times. I think that's where Memphis can improve. I believe they will improve, but that's where they really need to improve.
Oh, you're dead on, Coach, because their leader, Alex Lomax, is averaging 5 turnovers over the last 3 games. And if that's your leader's doing that, you gotta clean it up. I got to ask you this, though. They are number one in the country in effective field goal percentage defense. Inside the arc, they're number one in the country in terms of teams that are hard to score on. You cannot score on Memphis inside the arc. In terms of the job that Penny Hardaway is doing, a lot of people in Memphis want to, hey, is he coaching them? You know, his doubters want to say he's just rolling the ball out there. Coach, they've got the youngest team in the country. How hard, having done it, how hard is it to coach defense, to get defense to sink in with young players, to be this good defensively, this young? How much credit do you give to the coaching staff? How hard is that to do?
A lot. You know, here's what I can't stand about, you know, talking heads like me. I mean, I coached for 17 years, mm-hmm. and you know what? I was blessed to recruit some really good guys. I mean, at the NAI level, I had a 7'2" kid that was drafted by the Utah Jazz, you know? And so the reputation was, well, you know, that Adams guy, boy, he can really recruit, but can he coach? Mm-hmm. That's not fair, you know? I mean, when you have talent, in fact, I will submit to you this. I'm a big talent guy. I was in a business meeting the other day, and I actually just I'm completing writing a book right now on how to build a kick-butt culture. It's called The Coach and the Geek, and how to use technology and do some things in order to change the culture and accountability culture within your organization. And I had an IT professional ask me, Mark, can you define coaching for me? Because in business, there's all these guys running around saying they're business coaches. I've never called a timeout with 18 to 22-year-old guys running up and down the floor with my paycheck in their mouth. And I said, yeah, I can define it for you exactly. It's putting the right people in the right place at the right time based upon their talents. He looks at me and says, well, that seems pretty simple. I said, well, no, listen to me. It's putting the right people. So you've got to recruit the right people first.
Yep.
In the right place. Do you know where they belong? Based upon their talents in certain game situations or professional situations, can you balance all those factors and put the right people in the right place at the right time based upon their talents? And that's what Penny has done. You lose James Wiseman, okay, big deal. Well, Precious Achiuwa becomes a pretty good option then.
Exactly.
You know, and defensively, and you can't make up for one guy leaving by playing better offense. You better get your backside down and play some defense. And Penny is so underrated as a defensive technician. It's amazing to me that other people don't see it, because I'll give you a real quick example, then I'll shut up. So UNLV with Tark, what do we remember about them? The Running Rebels, right?
Yes.
I built my entire professional basketball coaching career upon the defensive principles of Jerry Tarkanian.
Wow.
The greatest defensive technician, footwork specialist I've ever seen in the game. But everybody talks about the Running Rebels.
You're right. Yes, you're absolutely
Penny
right.
Penny is suffering from Jerry Tarkanian-itis.
Interesting.
How about that? Yeah, it's an interesting way to look at it. We are, of course, talking to the great Mark Adams. He's a college basketball analyst for ESPN. What kind of challenges does this Tulsa team present Memphis tonight? I mean, they are tied for first right now in the league. I think certainly one of the surprises of the conference when you go top to bottom. What are the challenges they present for Memphis tonight, Mark?
You know, I watched them play and beat Houston, which was their best game of the season. And I also saw them play and lose at Cincinnati, where they look like my Central Connecticut team from 1991, which was the worst team in America. All right. So, you know, but they've been mostly up and not a lot down. What they bring to you from a defensive perspective for Memphis is, who do you guard? Now, Brandon Rochelle is the guy that you've got to make sure that you focus on, but he's good enough to make everybody else better, and he's also good enough in late-game situations to make plays, and that's why they're in the position that they're in. Rarely does a junior college transfer come in and make that type of a mark on a program as he has this season. So you start with that, and then the other part of it is when you prepare for Tulsa, you know, they're going to play a lot of zone. And they're going to match up with you. And it's a different look than what Memphis will typically see against them, although they've seen more zone for sure. But I think that the fact that Tulsa does play a good and effective zone, and here's the biggest key tonight. If Tulsa can get defensive rebounds against this mad rush to the offensive glass, all in blue, then they have a chance. But if they can't hold off the Memphis athleticism on the offensive glass, then good luck beating those dudes. I mean, they just devour offensive rebounds, and more importantly, they're so good at sticking it back in.
Yep.
And that's going to be the biggest key to tonight's game, I think. If Tulsa can defensively rebound the ball, they'll hang around. If they can't, it's going to be a blowout.
And then got to ask you, you know, it is amazing. Every single year there is turnover there in Houston. You know, 2 years ago they lost their point guard, Rob Gray. They
That's
come
right.
back,
yeah.
And they're a three seed. This year, you know, they lose Corey Davis Jr., a couple other guys. They come back, and here they are. They're on top of the AAC once again and look like they're going to be a force to be reckoned with yet again another year, despite losing, you know, key pieces and arguably their best player for 2 years in a row. How does Kelvin Sampson do it, Mark?
Well, you're asking the right guy. I don't know if you know our relationship or our background, but so Kelvin was the 26-year-old head coach at Montana Tech in Butte, Montana, when I was the 25-year-old head coach at Billings at Rocky Mountain College, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, how much time we got, by the way?
Oh, we got time, baby. We got time.
Okay. All right. So let me tell you a little story here. So back in the early 1980s, it was 1982, and Kelvin's 26, I'm 25. He's 6 months older than me, by the way.
Okay.
And he was touting himself as the youngest head college basketball coach in the country. I said, slow down, stud. I'm 6 months younger than you. So I was the youngest head coach in the country. Well, we had a bunch of coaches in that league, in many cases, a lot older than us. And so Kelvin and I decided, you know what? These guys have been around the block a few times. They probably know a few more things than us. But between the two of us, we might be able to create a competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So we aligned as coaches of two different schools, and we shared all of our information with each other to help each other win games. Now, Montana Tech had only won 3 games prior to him coming. They'd only won 4 games at Rocky Mountain College prior to me coming. In our second year, Montana Tech actually won the conference championship. We went 500. In my third year, Kelvin's fourth season, we ended up beating Montana Tech in Butte to go to the national tournament for the first time in 51 years. And
wow.
Guess who went with my team? Kelvin Sampson to support me.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
That's how far we go back.
Yeah.
I was also, for all intents and purposes, his defensive coordinator at Washington State when he was the head coach there. I spent 2 years with Kelvin, and I strictly coached defense during that time. And let me tell you what he does. I watched Houston play SMU last Wednesday night, I believe it was, and Quentin Grimes didn't score. And Caleb Mills was on a very, very short leash. And I watched that game, and I looked at my wife, and I said, I'm telling you what, right now, he knows he's going to win this home game. He knows it. And he's doing brain surgery on these guys right now. And, I mean, he was on them from the opening tip to the end, and he was on them, I'm sure, in the locker room when they got done winning by 12 points.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Mark Wise, was the ESPN, what a great analyst he is, Mark Wise, and he was going to do the game in Wichita, and I called Mark because Mark and I have a similar arrangement as analysts. We align together to help each other. We're not big name guys, so we align together to beat everybody else. And I called Mark, and I said, I'm telling you right now, Houston's going to beat Wichita State at Wichita State, and it's not going to be close.
Yep.
I'm just telling you.
Yep.
And sure enough, they went in. What Kelvin does, you asked, I'll get to the answer question now. What Kelvin does is that he incrementally builds a team better than anybody else I've ever been around. And his exile into the NBA made him an even better coach. Because once upon a time, he was so focused on effort, which is still a big thing for him, bringing energy. But now he also brings an offensive acumen to that defensive hard work, energy, loose ball, work boot focus. And now he's a more well-rounded basketball coach. And we talk about guys that understand the definition of talent, putting the right people in the right place at the right time based upon their talents. Kelvin Sampson does that as well as anybody I've ever met. Starting as a 26-year-old Lumbee American head coach. He's the only Native American head coach in America. And the way that he builds his team incrementally is fascinating to watch. And every young coach should try to go see a Kelvin Sampson practice, because the guy, when everybody else is playing checkers, mm-hmm. he's playing chess. It's that simple.
That's fascinating.
Yep. He is one of the best, there's no doubt. Hey,
it's
Mark,
an education,
man,
coach.
We appreciate the time as always, man. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime you need me, give me a call. I love talking basketball with knowledgeable people. And the folks in Memphis definitely know basketball and love it, so I'm always here for you.
Appreciate you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. He is Mark Adams.
Thank you, Coach.
College basketball analyst for ESPN.
He's dead on about Kelvin.
Yeah.
Because that, I'm telling you, that loss to Tulsa, 63-61, to the point. He's watching the SMU game the next game. And to this point, Kelvin's on them the entire game. Knows he's going to get that home win. But why is he riding them so hard in a game they're winning by double digits? Because he was doing, as he put it, brain surgery to set it up for the Wichita State game. Because he could. Now, Kelvin Sampson's going to make you draw so much out of that loss to Tulsa that you, it ends up being the best thing for you. And you go on a run. You learn your lessons. That dude can coach and coach. Adams just told you why.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. That was good stuff, man. Appreciate his time, as always. Anthony Sanga to be in here at 125. We'll talk to him about Grizzlies basketball. They got the Celtics on the road tonight, 6:30. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Don't miss it. All right, we will be back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Coming up on Thursday, Zion's debut, LeBron at MSG, and Superman making a return to the skies in Chicago. All the latest from a big night in the association. Plus, is Dak Prescott taking less money? Would you book it? That and more Thursday on Golic and Wingo.
The Golic and Wingo Morning Show. Weekdays 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis's sports station. Memphis Tigers, the NFL, the SEC, broadcasting live at 92.9ESPN.com, on the radio.com app, and regionally at 680 AM.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Style on point. Check. Her favorite flowers on hand? Check. Perfect restaurant to start the night? Check. You're ready to make date night a great night at Interim Restaurant and Bar. Oh, the art of flame and flavor. From their world-class open kitchen. Hey, look at the who's who of Memphis surrounding you. As you are seated and when the cocktail arrives, welcome to the show. Interim Restaurant and Bar. Lunch or dinner. Private dining for birthdays or any occasion. Book now for Valentine's Day. InterimRestaurant.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions. Like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we give you this magic music, which will inspire the perfect hire to begin clog dancing. Okay, there's no magic music, but skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Post your next job at Indeed.com/hire and try skills tests for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
So people out there might think that when an investor says they want to buy your home for cash, that the offer is not going to be a good one.
not going to be up to snuff. Well, that is not the case with the investor that the Live Love Memphis team is working with. So you might be thinking about listing your home, and you may want $180,000 for it. Well, the chances are your offer from the investor would most likely be in the $175,000 range, and that is all without the hassle of having to get it ready to go on the market, the expense of needed repairs, the appraisal, the closing cost assistance, and more. So you could actually be getting out with more from your home with the investor offer.
Right. So if you're thinking of selling your home that's not yet on the market, maybe you're not. You just want to know what's up. What could an investor offer me for my home? They'd love to hear from you. Simply all you got to do is send your address and an email to investor@livelovememphis.com. Real easy. Real simple. And that team over at Live Love Memphis Group, led by Jennifer Carstensen, is going to do a free analysis. And you don't have to worry. She's not going to be calling you 7-8 times a day. Not going to hassle you at all. There's no obligation to sell. You're not going to be hassled to sell. The Live Love Memphis Group is simply going to tell you what that investor is going to pay, and it's up to you to decide what you do from there. It's the best deal ever, quite frankly. See how much cash you could get for your home today by emailing your home address again to investor@livelovememphis.com. That's investor@livelovememphis.com.
So we talked about it a little bit with Mark Adams, but it is definitely true. Silvio D'Souza has been suspended indefinitely for his role in the Jayhawks brawl with Kansas State on Tuesday night. So no length of time, but you got to think it's going to be quite some time.
They don't stand over guys in the NBA. Guys in the NBA don't stand over other dudes like D'Souza stood over this kid.
Yes.
That kind of standover right there looked like, you know, you're ready to do. People know better because typically in those situations, you're not just going to get a tech. You're probably going to be thrown out of the game. Like that's literally the, you know, the and again, I'm not going to sit here and say this was all, you know, because I've heard, you know, Coach made the point, Coach Adams did, that Bruce Weber should get some here too. And Bruce's players, you know, once that thing gets going, you know, they're off the bench and you got that one. Everybody's asking who the white pants and black shirt was. He was one of their – he's one of their players, just wasn't dressed. And he was, you know, he's off the bench. So, and that's a guy, just like I'm saying with Bill Self, going to have to be responsible for his players in some way. Your guys are going crazy. Well, that's on Weber too. That walk-on or whatever, that transfer that comes off, he doesn't even have freaking a uniform on. He's coming off the bench and getting in the middle of it and escalating it right with D'Souza. So, anyway, it's on both. But that's what I would go back to the point of, is that at some point, we can't just put this all on the guys themselves. You got to put it on the coaches, because we would do that in other instances.
Yeah, no, it's true. But of course, like, there's not going to be any kind of suspension for Bill Self. I mean, you're not going to see any kind
of Big 12 should look at it as an embarrassment. Big 12 should look at that as an embarrassment to its conference.
Well, it is an embarrassment.
And if Kansas ain't going to, and we know they won't, because Bill's got all the power over there, if they're not going to do anything about it, we know the NCAA is not going to come in on anything like this. The Big 12 should step up, and I'm with Mark Adams. Suspend him for a game. Suspend him for two games. Make it felt. So what's their next one? Tennessee? So maybe, hey, they don't have Bill Self against Tennessee. Now that's a punishment, rather than you just throw D'Souza out there, right, and you keep on playing. D'Souza, go look at his numbers. He ain't even doing anything for Kansas
exactly.
Year. He probably started like one game.
Right.
He ain't having some monster season for them. Just losing him doesn't do anything to them.
No, you're right.
At all. And again, I would tell you, Kansas as a program should be punished for this, not just one dude. You got an entire team felt like it could go this way. That said, with Adams, you got to hit Kansas State as well.
Yeah, I mean, Silvio D'Souza is averaging 2.6 points and 2.8 rebounds a game.
Big old scrub this year.
Yeah, not,
right?
He plays eight minutes
deal.
A game.
Yeah, you really handled it, suspending him indefinitely. Woo-hoo.
That would be like –
yeah, you guys really came down on this one. Y'all really stood up.
That'd be like Isaiah Maurice getting suspended.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's not going to make that much of a difference, you know, for Memphis. If Isaiah Maurice –
well, y'all – I was listening to you earlier. Y'all been rolling on Isaiah today.
Dude.
He gets it, doesn't it?
Dude.
The light-skinned brothers just
– it ain't got nothing to do with
– he is right there in the butt of the jokes.
It ain't got nothing to do
man, y'all,
with skin tone.
I mean, well, you gotten some mileage and some real – a whole comedy show out of Isaiah Maurice just about. Any of the other jokes you can tell for us?
I'll play some film.
No, it's not like it's offending me or anything.
You seem offended.
I feel bad for the brother.
Oh, I mean, I get it, too. I mean, I feel you, man.
That said, a brother got to get a rebound when you're out there in 8 minutes and you can get off 8 shots, right, or whatever it was, and you don't get a rebound. Brother, that's your job, especially when you were 6'10 and 6'11. So while he's sort of earned it at this point, I get that, too, John.
Yeah, you know, like there was
basically saying they could throw him off the team, wouldn't make a damn hell of a bit of difference. Didn't he hit a big three against Cincy? There will be times when the matchups suggest that you might be able to get something out of that turnip. You understand?
Are you really sitting here holding out hope for Isaiah Maurice?
I'm just saying, these people want to say just throw him off the team or whatever. I've told you, getting Isaiah Maurice off the floor was critical to getting this thing turned back around.
Whoa.
That said, That said,
wow.
Still could be a place for him to hit a shot or two. Y'all writing him off like he's done, like he's just 6'10", light-skinned, nothing.
You're a bleeding heart for the sorry big
you
man.
You love this guy.
You and Isaiah and you and Chad Reichel.
I just told you, you got to get rebounds when you go
Simpson.
Out there.
Stan Simpson, I was thinking
you are
Stan.
A bleeding heart for the sorry big man.
Maybe so.
What is it with you and the sorry big man?
Well, the more I don't know. The more you work with me, the more you see the real me. And I just got a soft heart for the sorry big man.
How about playing time for Jaden Hardaway? Where are you at on the Jaden Hardaway PT?
Hell, Mark Giannotto's the one writing the piece, telling how good they are with him in the lineup.
I heard it.
It's one of their five best lineups with Jaden Hardaway in there.
Small sample size.
I'm not going to sit here. Y'all want to dog these kids and not say anything of the good they're doing.
No,
he hit a big shot against Cincinnati, too, at a critical time.
Yep.
What the story there is, what does Penny see?
He and Isaiah hit back-to-back threes, right? And the rapture started.
So to Giannotto, you're real funny. So to Giannotto's point, maybe Penny's looking at the plus minus when he's in there or something. Like, we're trying to figure out, right? What do you see with your kid? Well, maybe to that point, he's seeing, well, he's one of my five best lineups. That's it, dude. What are they? 14-3.
Yes,
they're number one defense in the country. They essentially,
are number one. Yeah.
Like you don't tell Penny to fix what ain't really broken either. You understand what I'm saying? And I remember this. Vicky Finch told us too.
Yep.
We're gonna be in year two. Telling us, me and you, in the media, what Penny Hardaway's how to coach, right? That's how this thing gets. That dude knows more about basketball and little Pinky than most of us do all combined together.
Yep.
And again, I would give you as Coach Adams. That's why I had him do it. Just laid out to you.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.